You're listening to an RNIB Connect Radio podcast.
You are listening to RNIB Connect Radio, and we are here at the BBS UK Annual Conference 2025, and I am joined by Professor Phil Beals to talk us through the genetic side of the syndrome. Can you tell us a bit about the genetic side of Bardet-Biedl syndrome, especially when it comes to the diagnosis and the different genes?
So, as you quite rightly mentioned, it is a genetically determined disease, so it's inherited. It's inherited in what's called an autosomal recessive fashion. If you remember back in biology from school, you know, there are three main ways in which genetic conditions can be inherited, and this is what's called recessive. So the most common version that people are more familiar with is conditional cystic fibrosis. And it's inherited in exactly the same way, where you have to have had what's called a mutation in the gene, or a spelling error in the code for that particular gene. One inherited from your mother and one inherited from your father. Because we all have two copies of every gene, it means that anyone who has inherited both copies that aren't working properly, they are unlikely to be producing the protein that particular gene codes for. And if you don't have enough of the protein in question, and in this case, Bardet-Biedl syndrome, then it leads to the problems that we're familiar with, including sight loss.
Can you now tell us, you've mentioned in your presentation a gene therapy you are working on in collaboration with other people. Can you give us a little bit more information about that?
This is work that really began in my lab at UCL almost 2 decades ago, and has recently culminated in the opportunity to develop the first gene therapy for Bardet-Biedl syndrome, particularly for the vision loss in Bardet-Biedl syndrome. And so what we've been able to develop and show in what we call preclinical or animal models is that there is a potential to halt and prevent vision loss in Bardet-Biedl syndrome. So we're not talking about with the gene therapy whereby we can restore vision. What we're talking about is preventing any further deterioration. Therefore, it's got to be given relatively early whilst there is still relatively good residual vision. And so a gene therapy in per se is simply providing the cell, in this case the photoreceptor in the back of the eye, with a fully functioning copy of that gene. Because as I said earlier, these patients who have received two faulty copies are not producing the protein. So by introducing a good working copy of that gene, you then produce the protein and then stop the deterioration of that photoreceptor any further.
So you've described how this therapy works, but who is actually eligible for it, or for any trials that may be taking place?
Well, I mean, we're in the planning process at the moment, and so it's our proposition, and this has not been approved yet, so it's still a proposition, that we will be treating younger patients, so under 17 essentially, because that's the group that is going to benefit the greatest, but also it's the group in which we need to demonstrate that the gene therapy is not only safe but efficacious in that it actually works.
Speaking of safety, you've also mentioned the possibility of certain risks, as there can be sometimes with these procedures. What can be some of the risks that people may need to be mindful of?
Well, it's surgery. It has to be delivered through an injection into the back of the eye. So, of course, you need a specialist surgeon to do that, not just a regular surgeon wouldn't be able to do that. It has to be someone who's familiar with that part of the eye. And then, of course, that reduces the risks, but there are risks nonetheless. And any surgery, one of the risks is infection. But the other one that is specific probably to gene therapies more than any other condition is inflammation. And the reason being is because we utilize a vector, which is the carrying particle. It's actually a virus, a commonly encountered virus called AAV, or adeno-associated virus. And what we do, we package the gene that we're trying to replace into that virus and utilize the properties of that virus to take it into the cell, to take the gene into the cell. And of course, that means that if by injecting that into the back of your eye, that can trigger an inflammatory response. Now, we can mitigate against that and at least try to prevent any inflammation by giving medication, such as steroids, for example, prior to and during the administration of the drug itself, and then we stop it a few weeks afterwards.
What stage are we at when it comes to approval of this gene therapy?
It hasn't even been submitted yet to the regulators, and in this case, because we're running the trial in the UK, we have to go to the MHRA, and so we're going to be submitting these large amount of paperwork very soon.
Which company are you working on this gene therapy with? Could you tell us that?
Yeah, the name of the company is Axovia Therapeutics. So I'm one of the co-founders with Victor Hernandez. We co-founded this about 5 years ago as a spin-out from UCL, where we were working before. The reason we did this is because it, at the time at least, was considered to be the most appropriate way of accelerating this kind of therapy.
Is there somewhere people can go to read more about this gene therapy, or is that not really available yet?
The background to the gene therapy is on our website, axoviatherapeutics.com, and we will be posting, as soon as we get CTA approval from the MHRA, we will be publishing more information around the trial itself.
Fantastic. Professor Phil Beals, co-founder of Axovia Therapeutics, thank you very much for joining us here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Hubert.
For more interviews, features and shows, go to your favourite podcast provider and search for RNIB Connect Radio.